Gotta get that.
You're locked in to SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Craig Koshkin and Jermaine Avery.
Craig Koshkin, Jermaine Avery, Jacob Payne here on this beautiful Sunday morning in Houston, Texas. I'd like to welcome in Whitney McIntosh, SB Nation writer. When she's not writing about shirtless Swiss soccer players, she's writing about Major League Baseball for SB Nation. Welcome to the show, Whitney.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Guys, you can follow Whitney on Twitter at WhitneyM02. She is a great Twitter follow. I'm so upset that I haven't been following her all this time.
It's very humorous.
Extremely.
I like it. So, Whitney, thank you for coming to talk a little baseball with us here. A lot going on early in the season, but you recently written an article about the darker side of some of the things going on in Major League Baseball. Can you kind of give us a little insight to what people would find in what you've written?
Yeah, especially this past week, we've had a suspension. The Jays reliever, Roberto Osuna, was finally suspended for an incident stemming from a May arrest. The MLB came down with that decision, and then we had some interesting reports surrounding former Red Sox first baseman Hanley Ramirez, which is still a bit of a muddy story, it seems like. But, yeah, Friday night was kind of a news dump of unfortunate news around popular players in the league.
It's really disappointing when all the leagues choose to do the Friday news dump and get rid of all the stories no one wants to pay attention to. Or the stories they don't want people paying attention to, which is the better way of putting it. Sad to say, is there any more insight now that we're 2 days removed? Is there anything going on with the Hanley Ramirez? Any new information?
Strangely, as far as I am aware, there hasn't been much more information released. There's been further speculation as far as what his involvement may be. But as far as I know, we haven't actually gotten more clarification on that, which is strange based on, kind of that Friday night tweet by ABC News reporter Michelle McPhee, kind of leading people to start speculating. I think some Boston media had some ideas earlier in the week, but she was the one who kind of broke the story and then went on the radio Friday night and further laid some things out. But even that kind of further story breaking from her didn't have a lot of details, didn't have a lot of specifics. Which is curious, because if you're going to send a tweet out like that, I would hope that you were going to have a story following. And whether she thought she was going to have some sources on the record and then didn't, or something happened editorially that kind of prevented her from confirming what she may know, that, I can't know that. But it is a little weird that it's been a couple of days and we're still kind of in the dark about this investigation surrounding Hanley Ramirez and a potential, from what it seems, drug trafficking ring based outside of Boston, Massachusetts, that is possibly connected to some May arrests and some June investigations on the federal and state level.
There must be something in the water up there in Boston, because we got Hanley Ramirez with this potential drug investigation. Aaron Hernandez is running around killing people. Like, there's Tom Brady eating avocado ice cream, for God's sakes. Like, what's going on up there? But going back to Osuna and his 75-game suspension under MLB's domestic violence policy, is this the first – I want to say this is the first major leaguer that's been suspended under their revised policy. Am I not correct about that?
There was somebody previously this season, and now I'm blanking on it, even though I wrote an article about it. But this, as far as I am aware, this is the third longest suspension under the domestic violence policy, under this updated policy. Obviously, we have some pitchers in the league right now, Aroldis Chapman, Stephen Wright, who have those issues in their past, but this is one of the first since this updated policy has occurred. And it's still kind of unclear how the league is coming to these decisions, the length of the suspension, what kind of information they were able to receive from the police or the, the alleged victim in this situation, as she has remained anonymous for her, health and safety, which is great. But the league still is kind of not misleading people, but they're not being very upfront about what information they are getting that goes towards these suspensions or lack of suspension, as it were, which is one thing. You know, I'm always happy to see the league take a stand on these issues, but it does seem like their processes are not being made clear. And I'm wondering how much does the fact that he plays in Toronto make a difference, because, you know, versus in the USA with his work visa, things like that, that they're kind of not answering. But he'll come back in. He'll be eligible to come back in August, whether the Jays keep him on the roster or not. Will be foreseen.
Yeah, it seems as though like they're being kind of secretive about it, and I almost applaud MLB for kind of being a little, you know, closed door on it, because the NFL is trying to be a little bit more transparent sometimes, and it seems as if MLB is just kind of taking the approach of, you know what, let's be a little more guarded with our policy as opposed to being more open like the NFL has, because they've received a ton of criticism. Do you think MLB received criticism for taking the opposite stance?
I think there's a middle ground that has to be found that neither league has quite pinpointed. And that's going to come through when somebody's upset about a decision. So right now, we're all happy Osuna got suspended. That's, you know, based on the details around this incident, that seems like a fair decision, and everyone can pat MLB on the back for being upfront about, you know, about domestic violence and domestic abuse. But when somebody's not suspended under this new policy and they can't explain why they came to that decision, or when someone's only suspended 20 games or something, a weird middle ground where you're not sure if it should have been harsher or less harsh, that's going to be when they're going to have to start answering for their methodology, and then they're going to kind of get into a between a rock and a hard place of, oh, well, we want to be respectful and not give away details of the case because of legal reasons, which the NFL has made the mistake of and tried to be more of a legal arbiter, which is the mistake the other way. But then they're not going to be able to explain what happens when they make a mistake. So I think there's some interesting problems here. Right now it's kind of working out for their favor from like a PR perspective. But I do think being so cagey about what goes into these things is going to backfire on them eventually.
The one thing I will say for it is, when they are so guarded with information and how they come to their decisions, there's going to be less of an outcry of inconsistency when different suspensions are handed down. Because we look at the NFL, we look at what happened to Zeke Elliott, and a bunch of allegations came down, but nothing really materialized. He gets 4 games, and Jameis Winston only gets 3. There's going to be a cry for inconsistency amongst different fan bases. When MLB is so guarded with their information, they can just say, well, they're different circumstances, without having to give away all the circumstances of a particular case.
Absolutely. And I think that's exactly why they're doing this. And again, from a legal perspective, that's extremely smart. They're not going to accidentally, you know, leak details. But at the same time, you know, this trial is not over yet. You know, pleaded not guilty. He has further trial dates coming. That's going to be an issue if, say, this trial moves forward and we get a ton more details about what may or may not have happened. And then in the future, there's a very similar situation where the league had these details maybe before they decide to do a suspension for whatever reason, and the suspension is different, because then the public will be able to make their own judgment and again say, why is this different? Not that the league will be releasing those details, but that, you know, there are freedom of information requests. There are people following these trials, and that's going to happen. So I think it's well-meaning right now, and MLB loves to keep things kind of close to the vest, but I just see some pitfalls that are going to come, and that MLB in the past has already proven that they're not quite that good at answering for.
Hey, Whitney, real quick, we were talking about the different races in the National League and the American League and the divisions. I'm of the thought that the Milwaukee Brewers are here to stay. My partner, however, thinks that they're going to fall back to the pack and that the Cubs are going to overtake the NL Central. What are your thoughts?
I think that's definitely one of the summer races to keep an eye out on. You know, the Brewers are a huge surprise this year based on their offseason moves and what people expected out of them. I do think the Cubs are going to overtake them. However, I do think the Brewers are going to be the ones on top by the end of the season. You know, whether the Cubs still manage to make the playoffs or not, that's a whole different conversation about what's happening in the National League as far as wild cards. But I do think the Brewers are going to clinch that one for themselves eventually. But I do think it's going to turn into one of the closer, more exciting races as we kind of come to the closing stretch of the last 3-4 months of the season here.
So far, we're about at the midway point, close to the All-Star break as well in the Major League Baseball season. What's your favorite story so far in the early part of the season?
Oh, my favorite story. That's a tough one. We've had some fun stuff kind of happening.
There's been a lot going on. I realize that's a very open-ended question, and I apologize, but there's so much. I like the perspective from someone who writes about Major League Baseball for a living. Like, what has really stood out to you about this season? Is it the upstart Braves or the Brewers or what's going on with the Dodgers? There's so much going on.
Absolutely. I think the Mariners kind of are a great story. They've had some struggles in the past week or so, but that's something that we kind of, again, did not expect.
Sure.
And I guess, yeah, besides all the fun animal stuff we've had so far with eagles landing on people and a goose on the field, I would say kind of what's been surrounding the Mariners, you know, them being in first place in the division completely unexpectedly. You know, Robinson Cano was a huge story, even though, you know, it's kind of a darker side. But then we have all of the fun stuff around Ichiro, which he's the gift that keeps on giving, you know, the retirement, the campaign for him to be in the All-Star game or the Home Run Derby now, his kind of jokes about throwing pitches at batting practice and hitting home runs at batting practice, and then now him pulling a Bobby Valentine and sitting in the dugout at Yankee Stadium because he wanted to watch the game. I think they're a surprisingly fun story. Hopefully they don't kind of revert back to their normal status as the struggling team in Seattle that, you know, can't make the playoffs and can't bring one home for their fans. But I think so far they've been a lot of fun.
You know, that was a pretty funny story, and it kind of gives people insight into Ichiro's personality and kind of puts things into perspective that he's not some robot, you know. I really did enjoy that one. We talked about Whitney being an interesting Twitter follow, not only for her articles and tweets about, you know, Swedish shirtless soccer players, but Whitney is also the queen of the clapback. There was somebody, looks like from Croatia, who says, I love my soccer squad, blah, 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 and kind of made reference to you writing the article about, you know, Shaqiri's goal celebration. That clapback tweet was awesome. We can't really say what Whitney said, but just go to her Twitter feed, and it's on June 22nd. You'll see it. Trust me.
Strong stuff.
Thank you, guys. That was certainly an entertaining afternoon following that article. We definitely had fun with that, you know, behind the scenes on the site and putting that live was a lot of fun. That's what the World Cup is fun for.
Yeah, it's been a blast. That's Whitney McIntosh, SB Nation baseball writer. You can find her on Twitter at WhitneyM02. Thank you so much for taking some time out on a Sunday to join us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
Appreciate it. That was a good interview.
I'm a fan now.
Oh,
seriously, I am a fan.
That
now
will be an intense Twitter follow for
definitely,
me.
Definitely. I mean, the thing is, it's like there's still that whole stigma about women in sports, unfortunately, that ladies like Whitney in this business have to overcome. And I'm glad she handled that tweet and had fun with that article and did it in such a manner in which that she can show her femininity.
Femininity.
Thank you. She can show her femininity without having to, you know, bow down to the buttheads and idiots on the internet.
You know what? Write what you want to write. As long as your editor approves of it, then write what you want to
exactly
write. That's the whole thing. Write what you want to write.
So, and hey, I'm a guy, and I thought it was hilarious.
It was great. It was great. She's a great Twitter follow. Go follow her at WendyM02. Talked a little baseball. Talked a little World Cup. When we come back, probably a little NBA draft talk. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to SB Nation Radio.